We do talk a lot about water in our part of the country. We really have to, since we don't get much rainfall east of the Coast Range and south of the Willamette Valley. Living here takes some planning, especially in dry years like this one appears to be. Our usual dependence is on snowpack and stream flow for larger water systems, but plenty of people in the countryside get their water from wells, groundwater. Next week is Groundwater Awareness Week, an annual event with perhaps a bit more importance in dry years. Our guests know a few things about water in the earth. Here in the studio with me is Amy Sager-Patton, who's a hydrogeologist with her own company, Patton Environmental, based in Ashland. Amy, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And from the Oregon Health Authority's Domestic Well Safety Program, we have Tara Cheetock. Welcome, Tara.
Hi, thank you.
And Nadege Dubuisson is joining us as well. Welcome, Nadege.
Morning.
Good to have you both here. Let us start with Amy here in the studio. We have talked to both hydrologists and geologists over the years. You have both in your occupational title. What does a hydrogeologist do?
A hydrogeologist is essentially somebody who specializes in groundwater science, so the study of groundwater.
And part of your work, I imagine, then, is helping people find groundwater?
I have done a little bit of water resource work, but also I've done a lot of groundwater quality investigation, so investigation of contamination of groundwater and cleanup of groundwater. Most recently, I've been working on a couple grant projects for public education about groundwater, in particular how to protect your well and properly maintain your septic systems, just to make sure that your domestic water supply is clean and safe to drink.
For the people who don't have water wells, is there often a lot of blank looks from when you begin to describe groundwater?
Yeah, there's not really a lot of public awareness of what groundwater is. A lot of people think about underground streams. So we think it's really important to educate people that groundwater is really everywhere beneath the surface, and that's why we have to be careful about what we do on the surface to prevent groundwater contamination.
That's a good place to broaden the discussion. You mentioned underground streams. I mean, we may have this impression of rivers under the earth, but it's really not like that mostly, is it?
No.
Just a lot of water-bearing soil and rock?
It's complicated down here. You know, out in the Midwest, they have big stretches of sandstone that are aquifers, but here on the West Coast, particularly down here in Southern Oregon, we've got all sorts of different kinds of metamorphic situations and igneous rocks and a few sedimentary rocks. So we've got all sorts of different kinds of groundwater aquifers and a lot of fractured flow. So you do sort of have underground streams through those fractures, but you also have some general broader groundwater aquifers, alluvial aquifers.
I can see where a person with your level of knowledge would come in handy, because people who are trying to find water in the ground by drilling a well, it certainly helps to know what's in the ground underneath you. And is that part of the process, too, is figuring out what kind of rock is down there?
Well, that's part of the process. I think a lot of my work has more to do with water quality and helping people figure out how to protect their water, their groundwater, from getting contaminated in the first place.
So let me turn it then to Tara and Nadege at the Domestic Well Safety Program at the Oregon Health Authority. First of all, do we have rough figures on how many people get their water from domestic wells in the state of Oregon?
Yes, we do. We estimate that approximately 23% of Oregonians rely on private wells for their drinking water.
Well, that's not an insignificant number then, 23%.
Yeah, it's estimated that there's approximately 350,000 wells in Oregon, and another 3,800 new wells drilled across the state each year.
How many more new each year?
3,800.
Oh, wow. So that's a good number every year then.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
And then what are some of the major, obviously we're talking about well safety, there are issues that can affect well safety. What are some of the biggest threats to the safety of water coming out of wells?
So groundwater is susceptible to contamination from multiple sources. Frequently cited threats include underground storage tanks, septic systems, landfill, industrial facilities, and agricultural activities. So it's important for folks to maintain their well and practice good stewardship throughout the year, and this can include safely storing hazardous materials away from their wellhead and their water, as well as keeping animals, farm animals, away from their water sources as well.
And things like manure piles, if you have those, you want to keep them covered, so because they're obviously a heavy source of nitrogen. Nitrate is one of the contaminants that is present in a lot of areas in Oregon, and including in Jackson County, and things like even your compost pile can be a source of nitrogen. And as Tara mentioned, septic systems, you want to make sure your septic system is properly maintained. You want to make sure you're pumping it out every 2 or 3 years. And you want to make sure you're not putting chemicals into down your drains if you have a septic system. You want to limit your use of chlorine. You don't want to be putting any kind of paint solvent, paint thinners down there if you've got a project going on at home. You want to instead collect those things in jars or cans and take them to a household hazardous waste event.
It sounds like some of the issues you get then are probably people who have lived on a city water system with sewer carryaway, that sort of thing, and now they've moved to the country, they have a well, their behavior has to be a bit different.
That's right.
All right, and so how often, over the course of a year with the 350,000 people getting water from wells in the state of Oregon, Tara or Nadege, mm-hmm. How many people end up with issues with those wells?
So it's a great question that you bring up. So unlike public water systems, private wells are not regulated by the federal government or the state government. That means homeowners are the first and last stop to protect their water source. So homeowners are responsible for testing their water to ensure that the water meets safe drinking water standards. And really, we don't know about all of the data for wells within Oregon because people are not required to submit their test results to us on a regular basis other than under the Real Estate Transaction Act, where homeowners are required to test for arsenic, bacteria, and nitrates when they sell their property. So only during those transactions do we receive here at the Oregon Health Authority that data.
And at no other time. I mean, can people voluntarily send their stuff to you?
They absolutely could voluntarily send those data results to us. They often don't. We are working diligently with our program right now just to increase the compliance rate among homeowners and real estate transactions because we estimate that those compliance rates are quite low. And it really is important for people to regularly test their well, not only to ensure the quality of that water, but that data also helps us to analyze the data and understand where there may be problem areas in the state and where we can direct our education and financial support services to those areas to help mitigate any issues.
There's bits of overlap here, I'm thinking, because we're talking to the Oregon Health Authority with Tara and Nadege, but you once worked for the DEQ, the Department of Environmental Quality, Amy, so I imagine there's some overlap or at least some reference back and forth between those agencies.
Yeah, the Oregon DEQ has actually Oregon passed in 1989 the Groundwater Protection Act, and it's a pretty nice comprehensive act that provides some protections from non-point sources for the groundwater and also established a testing program. So that program has been reduced in size over the years because it's mostly general funded, but it's hanging on. And there is some groundwater testing. Actually, some resource was just returned to the DEQ last session. And they are conducting some groundwater sampling in Jackson and Josephine County, finishing up this week. And they're testing 60 wells. They had over 400 well owners request to be included in that testing, which is a great response, and it shows you how much interest there is among rural residents to know what their water quality is.
We are talking about groundwater. Next week is Groundwater Awareness Week across the country. Amy Sager Patton here in the studio with me is a hydrogeologist with her own company, Patton Environmental, based in Ashland. From the Oregon Health Authority Domestic Well Safety Program, on the phone we have Tara Cheetock and Nadege Dubuisson. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So far, one of each. Here's Wolfgang in Sunny Valley. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi there. Good morning. Groundwater, as some may know, is an issue in Sunny Valley, but there's a more general issue. The number of wells registered does not represent, that's the first part of what I'm saying, does not represent the actual numbers, because there were lots of wells hand dug before the regulation took hold. There are exempt wells. There are what they call grandfathered wells. So the numbers are, you could say, at least one third more that are not on the books. They're just there. Okay.
All right.
So what that also means is that the danger to these groundwater sources cannot always be appropriately assessed. And one of the specifics that obviously I'm coming from is here in Sunny Valley, there are lots of these wells. They are not registered necessarily, and they are in danger not of pollutants. They are in danger of depletion by industrial predators. And I'm just going to call it that because that's what it is.
Because there's a gravel pit coming into Sunny Valley, is that right?
To be addressed, the fact that the aquifers aren't, I mean, people need to understand them, and people need, and the legislators and the regulators and the executive, they need to understand the nature of aquifers, that you can't dig an 80-foot hole here and not expect something to be depleted like 100 feet away.
All right.
So that, I think, should be part of the groundwater awareness.
All right. Thanks for that, Wolfgang. I appreciate that. So let's talk about the mechanics there, Amy Sager Patton, because I'm sure a lot of people do wonder about how that works. I mean, if you've got a well that's doing just fine on your property, then somebody drills another one, you know, a distance away, a piece of property away, for example, if they're necessarily going to be an effect on your well?
There's not necessarily going to be effect on your well. It depends on if the aquifers are connected or not, how deep one is versus the other. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but there can be interference, and then that's where Water Resources Department gets involved with the water rights issues and things like that. But Wolfgang brings up a good point, because where you have a lot of the older wells, particularly older wells are generally shallow wells, and often they're abandoned. And I've seen abandoned wells around the valley that are just open holes, you know, exposed to the air. Any kind of animal could fall in there, or people could dump stuff in there. I've had someone tell me, "Oh, we've got a RV dump site in our new, you know, at our new house," and telling our friends, "Come over and they can dump their RV waste there." And I said, "Well, how often you pump that out?" "Oh, we don't pump it out." And it makes me wonder if that's really just an abandoned well that they're using. So things like that are a problem if people don't understand what groundwater is and how to protect it.
I suspect there's a belief on the parts of at least some people that, well, gee, all that rock and dirt just filters things out. Let's get some better idea about how well the earth is doing at filtering things like, you know, biological waste, body wastes.
Yeah, you have to remember the biological activity in soil really takes place at a very shallow level, and then mostly after that it's just sand, gravel, and minerals that are the filtering agents. So that's an issue with septic tanks, and particularly in this area we have a lot of clay soils that make septic tank use a little difficult. I wanted to make sure we got to some of the announcements of events. There's an agricultural pesticide collection event taking place this Saturday.
All as part of Groundwater Awareness Week.
Rogue Disposal Transfer Station.
Mm-hmm.
The registration for that is closed, but if you go to the Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District website, there's a phone number and you can check. I know they haven't met their capacity yet, so if you have large quantities of agricultural chemicals, if you're a farm, that, you know, you've got some DDT in that old barn that you just purchased and you want to get rid of that safely and properly, that's a great place to do that. If you're just a homeowner and you have some chemicals that you want to get rid of, there's household hazardous waste events coming up. And also I wanted to mention there's free nitrate testing events coming up. There's one going to be taking place at Rogue Valley Earth Day on April 25th. And also at the OSU Master Gardener Spring Fair, there will be free nitrate testing. If you just bring in a cup sample of your water, keep it cold, and bring it to the well testing booth, that's May 2nd and 3rd. And there will also be four other events in the valley, and those will be announced again on the Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District website.
Again, we are talking about groundwater with Amy Sager Patton, a hydrogeologist at Patton Environmental. We're talking also with the folks in the Domestic Well Safety Program at the Oregon Health Authority, Tara Cheetock and Nadege Dubuisson. You can join us on the exchange with questions or comments about groundwater and its care and feeding, 800-838-3760 around the region, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org, or check us out on Facebook and catch the picture of Amy that we snapped a few moments ago. Everybody's surprised when we pull the camera out. Hey, it's radio, they say, but that's what we do. For Tara or Nadege, how often do you get calls about people with questions about well safety?
We get calls quite regularly with homeowners asking about previous test results that we have here in our office for the real estate transaction rule. And we also provide support to some of our partner agencies when they go out and do testing. Amy mentioned that DEQ has a groundwater study program that's been conducting tests in the Rogue Valley area. And some of those folks have received some positive nitrate results, and they have called us to talk about the health effects of bacteria in their water and next steps, what they can do. So we often do get quite a few calls, and it is surprising because many homeowners that are on wells have never even tested their wells once. And if people out there do have questions on health effects of their private well water, they're always welcome to call us here at our office. And that number is 971-673-0977.
Okay, 971 one more time.
971-673-0977.
We'll make sure that gets added to our web story about this issue. 971-673-0977. Is there a recommended minimum level of treatment for well water? I mean, just a basic setup that you really should have if you're pulling water out of the ground and using it for drinking water in your house?
So Our program, we mirror the Environmental Protection Agency's Safe Drinking Water Standards, which were developed for public water systems, but we apply them to private well water as well. So our program specifically focuses on total coliform bacteria, nitrates, and arsenic. And in regards to total coliform bacteria, when you test through an accredited lab, and you can find a list of accredited labs through our website, which I can provide at the end of the segment, bacteria should be absent in your results. And then EPA has set the nitrate standard for 10 parts per million or less. And then with arsenic, it's 10 parts per billion or less.
And the arsenic drinking water standard is really a standard set related to treatment capacity of a public drinking water system. There has not actually been any safe standard established for drinking water with arsenic.
So there shouldn't be any arsenic in the water.
From my perspective, it's best if you have, and there is naturally occurring arsenic in the valley, If you have it, I would recommend not drinking it. You can bathe in it. You can flush your toilets with it, obviously, but I would recommend not drinking it.
And it does occur naturally, you say, then?
It does, and fluoride as well. And that's something, you know, people don't really get concerned about fluoride because they think, oh, well, you're supposed to have fluoride.
It's good for your teeth and all that sort of thing.
There's a certain amount of fluoride that's too much. And if you have more than 2 parts per million fluoride, that can cause fluorosis in children. Which can model your teeth
and you mentioned some of the places that nitrates come from, but this is not nitrogen itself, but some
nitrate is, you know, in manure, it's in fertilizer, it's in septic systems, and that's essentially where it comes from. And the free water testing that we do for nitrate, we test for nitrate because it's pretty inexpensive to test for, and it's an indicator that something is getting through to your well from the surface. And so if you have nitrate in your well, you want to test for other things as well, because other things might be getting down there also.
Are there solutions then? I mean, just in you know, landscaping or something to cover up cracks or something that might be allowing things to get down through the surface into your well?
Well, there's going to be a certain amount of treatment. I mean, we put fertilizer on our plants for a reason. We want them to grow, and but we don't want to put more fertilizer on than the plants can uptake. So the key is amount that we put on and when we put it on. We don't want to put it on right before big rain or right before we irrigate. We want to put it on so that the plants can utilize it.
Tara or Nadej, in the few seconds we have left, are there any bills before the legislature that are being recommended by the Oregon Health Authority on well safety?
Thanks for asking. At this time, we are following a bill currently in session. However, I am not allowed to comment. Sorry.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to find out which bill that is. We'll talk more down the road, probably, about groundwater, always an issue in our region. Tara Shetok, and Nadej Dubuisson are with the Domestic Well Safety Program at the Oregon Health Authority. Amy Sager-Patton is a hydrogeologist at Patton Environmental in the Rogue Valley. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Want to let you know, we had an email here from Jay, I guess from the Eugene Springfield area. He points out the Thurston High School provides some free testing for water. He says the coliform bacteria and arsenic are the biggie. So if you're near Thurston High School in Springfield, one place to go for get some testing. Thanks for joining us on this hour of the Jefferson Exchange.